Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 66 countries, such as the U.S., Canada, Panama, Australia, United Kingdom. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio Network at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But don't forget our 5:30 p.m. episodes. Be on the lookout for those episodes. Now, on the show, we have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, other podcast hosts, and amazing people who are doing amazing things in their lives and impacting the world around them. You can listen to our show by joining our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never missing an episode. You can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show so we know how we're doing. So before I bring on my guests during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109 to ask us any questions that pertain to the topic that we are discussing. Again, that number is 657-383-1109. Without further ado, please help me welcome my friend, Linda West. How's it going?
Oh, hey, Sean. It's going great. I'm so glad to be here.
We finally get to do this. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, my gosh. So, it really has. We've had four attempts and, four times a charm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So I'm most excited because we officially met. I mean, we've known each other for a while just on Facebook and some other things, but we officially met here in North Carolina in Charlotte at the Entrepreneur City Live event like a month or something ago. And yeah. And we had a great time with Rachel Gilmore and can't remember her name, but she was
Amy.
Can't remember her name, but
Amy,
that's right. Amy. So we all went to dinner, had a great conversation, and then here we are on the show. Amazing.
Yeah. It really is amazing, right? You think about how the internet really does connect people if you're willing to, you know, foster those relationships and keep them going. And then eventually you meet somebody in person, you're like, oh, you look totally different in person than you do on Facebook. You're like, what?
Right? Right. So I'm super pumped about this episode. The title of this episode is Living Live with Linda West. Known as the Oprah of San Diego, Linda has interviewed stars on the red carpet as well as more than 275 people on her show, Living Live. She is a speaker, best-selling author of The Year of Fears, producer of Wishman movie, creator, coach of the Finish It Fast program, turning procrastinators into actionators, and the Facebook Live queen, having done more than 2,700 Facebook Live videos. In 2015, she embarked on a journey of facing at least one fear every day. During her journey, she met people like the creator and co-founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, inventor of the credit card magnetic strip, and MLS, the founder of UGG Boots, the president of Mexico, the creator of everyone's favorite mouse, Chuck E. Cheese, and many others. Having grown up in a volatile alcoholic household, her voice had been stifled due to fears of what might happen if she spoke out. Coupled with that, she married someone just like her dad, and the cycle continued. After hiring a life coach in 2014, she found her voice and started sharing her journey to inspire and motivate others to share their story and to live a life with no regrets. Inside the show notes is her website, www.livinglive.tv, livinglive.tv, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, all in the show notes. Check her out. She is absolutely amazing. So I had to kind of disagree a little bit. I think everyone's favorite mouse, at least mine, would be Mickey Mouse, but, you know.
I know.
I get it. My,
see, that doesn't
my kids
make the
love Chuck E. Cheese.
This makes the
they
bio
love
more
Chuck E. Cheese, though. yeah, I know, right? Well, yeah, I mean, they're always like, can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? Can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? So, yeah,
yeah.
Can't compete with the video games.
Yeah. So, do they even have what do you call pizza over there? I don't know if it's really pizza.
But so the first question that I have to ask is, what is your why? What is your deep why for what you do?
You know, that's a great, I love that question. I'll tell you the reason I love that question, because I actually spent 2 weeks doing nothing but going through the 7 levels of why and to discover what my why is. And the reason I spent 2 weeks doing this, and I'll share really quickly what the 7 levels of why is, but the reason I spent 2 weeks doing it is because I have so many things I do, so many things I absolutely love doing, and I had to, you know, go down 7 levels on each of those things to find out what is the common theme, what is the common thread that links all of these together. And I actually did discover that. So when I was about 5 years old, I actually ran away for a week. I was gone for an entire week. I was 5 years old. Now, people, the first question people ask me is, well, where'd you go? I only ran away to the neighbors. But, you know, in all intents and purposes, I was gone for a week. And I moved. You know, as far as I was concerned, I was going to stay with those people forever. You know, growing up in an alcoholic household is very, for me at least, it was very scary. There was a lot of fear at all times, fear of speaking, fear of saying anything, fear of singing, fear of dancing, fear of having fun because something might happen and somebody might get hurt. That's the environment I grew up in. So I was actually sitting with Les Brown one day. I had the pleasure of sitting with him for a couple hours, and he asked me about my story. And I told him, I said, you know, it got to this part, like, you know, when I was 5, I ran away. I was gone for a whole week. And he was like, what was different that day? And I said, I don't know. I guess, you know, mom and dad were out there and they were yelling and screaming. And, you know, dad was beating mom. And he goes, but wait a minute. What was different that day? Because for 5 years, you saw that. For 5 years, you already saw that. So there was something that clicked in you that particular day. And I remember what it was. You know, sorry to make my why so long, but this is the story of my why.
No, it's good. It's good.
Is I remember what it was, and this is Les helped me to unlock that reason, like what my why is, and it was so powerful. There was a specific day that my little sister and I was 5, she was 4, and we were huddled on the bed together, terrified, just shaking and so fearful that he was going to come in and hurt us. And I was protecting my little sister. I had myself holding her, and she was under me like I was her turtle shell, you know, and she was inside the shell,
yep.
And I was protecting her. So what I discovered by doing my 7 levels of why is all the things that I do all relate back to protecting others and taking care of them and making sure that they can have the best life they can possibly have. That is my why. It goes all the way back to when I was 5 years old of protection.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I can totally relate to that because I grew up the same way. I grew up the same exact way. When my stepfather would, when he was done beating my mom, he would come after me and come after my older sister. Mm-hmm. So we would have to, you know, protect each other. And especially my older sister, like she was always trying to like protect everybody, you know, and he didn't even care. You know, he would, you know, hit us and do whatever. Like, he didn't care, you know. I can totally, totally relate to to your why.
You know what's interesting? What's interesting, Sean, is as I speak about this, you know, when I go and speak and stuff, is I find that this is much more common than I ever imagined. Like, I always thought growing up that nobody has this kind of lifestyle. Everybody is like, you know, Ozzie and Harriet, or they have these really happy families and everything.
Right.
That wasn't the case at all. Almost every single one of my friends had the same exact type of lifestyle, but we never talked about it back then. So now that I talk about it now publicly, people are like, I had the same thing. So it's, unfortunately, it's so much more common than I ever imagined it was.
Right. No, I 100%. You know, as I started getting onto the speaker circuit and becoming a professional speaker, I would say things about, you know, my story, like I did this and then this happened, and, you know, just, you know, talking about things that kind of related to the topic of, you know, overcoming fear or overcoming adversity or whatever it was. And like three people come up to me and they're like, man, I grew up the same way. I literally endured the same things. Alcohol dominated, domestic violence, household. That's what I was like, wow, really? You know, and yeah, you're right. I mean, I never knew that it was so common. You know, I heard of domestic disputes and things like that, but not like on a scale that we know. You know, definitely.
Yeah, I don't want to start the show on a downer or anything, but
that's what I love.
People say, "What's your why? What's your why?" And I hear people say, "Oh, it's, you know, my why is, you know, to make sure that my parents, you know, have a really great retirement," or things like that. But really, if you think about the why is actually the root of why you do what you do.
Right.
It's not future. It's actually past, because oftentimes the thing that we're doing, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a child psychologist. I was like 8 years old, like, I'm going to be a child psychologist. Well, I didn't end up doing that, but I wanted to be a child psychologist because I was so screwed up that I wanted to be able to help other kids to not be screwed up. At age 8, I knew that. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, the why is an amazing
but
thing.
No,
spend some time really discovering it. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's why I start the show this way, is because I want people to understand where you're coming from, which, whether it's dark or whether it's happy, like, you know, because I've been like, oh, my why is that, you know, I beat cancer and now I want to be a voice for the voiceless. And like, I'm like, that's awesome. It's still kind of down. Mm-hmm. Like, I beat cancer. Like, oh, you had cancer. Wow.
Right.
But
right.
I'm so fascinated by the motives that people have, because sometimes they're so deeply personal and they are so deeply rooted. Like you said, it goes back to when you were 5 and 6 and 7. And, you know, so, you know, what you do goes all the way back to your young childhood. So the next thing that we do in life, you know, we have our why, then we have to take our action. But it always is amazing to me that people say, oh, overnight success. Oh, who's this person? Never heard of this person. They're like an overnight success. Yeah, for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah, with my ass off.
Right? So give us a transformational moment that changed your life and put you on the path to what you're doing now.
Well, I remember the exact moment, actually. And, you know, sometimes there are a lot of transformational moments in my life, but I remember the very, very one that, you know, before I was more like a zigzag life, you know, and then once I met this one person, that helped to put my feet on the actual path. And that was a life coach. It was August of 2014, and I was driving to work one day and just not really happy with my life and thinking, like, what the heck am I doing here? What's my purpose? I was 51 years old at the time. So one of my things I love to share is that you're never too old to start, you know, start again,
right,
or just start. Like, for me, it's like just starting. And I got to work and I got on Facebook and I saw this post in a private group I belong to, and it said, I've been a life coach for 20 years. I took a 5-year break and I'm on my way back, and I'm looking for 5 clients who are interested in working with me. And I was like, I don't know this person, but I'm in. I had no idea what was about to unfold, but I knew that I needed to do something different. And so, like I said, I didn't even know her, and sight unseen, I was like, I'm in. I didn't even know how much it cost, nothing. And I raised my hand for the first time and said, this is about me. I need to discover who I am, what my purpose is, what I'm supposed to do while I'm here. And that was the very, very start of that journey.
I love it. So how long did you work with that person for?
I worked with her for 5 months. And okay. Towards the end, it was interesting because towards the end there, I realized that, I had been in corporate. First I had been in the corporate world for 36 years. I was a legal secretary for 20 of those years. The very last job I had was working for a judge in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, that is the highest position you can have in the entire United States in my area, besides working in Washington, D.C. in the Supreme Court. And I worked for the number two judge in our circuit. So I had the penultimate, I worked 20 years to get there. And I got there. I was it. That was it. I made it. I hated my job. Oh, my God. I hated that job so much.
Wow.
I hope the judge never hears me, because it wasn't him that I hated. It was just the mundaneness. I was really kind of like a glorified travel agent, because my judge traveled 250 days of the year. So really that's what I was doing. But, along this whole entire journey as well, I've had 49 jobs, Sean, 49. And I wanted to look back and discover, why did I have so many jobs? Well, first of all, I was never fired. I got laid off once because we had, a massive layoff, and I was part of that. Mm-hmm. But I was never fired. I always left because I learned all I could at that particular job. And so it was time for me to go on and learn more things. I just got very stagnant. And so anyway, working with this life coach helped me to discover that I really hated that job so much that I had to leave, because it was just making me, I was living with shackles on. I built these shackles. I built the prison I was driving myself to every single day, because that was what I wanted. But then I discovered I hated it so much. So I quit my job, took a leap of faith, had no money saved up, had no idea what I was going to do, but I did know one thing, and that was that I wanted to help people. So I quit my job with a faith that whatever I was going to do, whatever path I was going to go on, was going to involve me helping people. And here it is, 4 years later, still in the same faith that I have.
Yep. I love it. Wow. So thank you for sharing. I hear the success behind the success, because, there's always these pictures that float around social media. We see the tip of the iceberg success, but we don't see the bottom of the iceberg. It's like depression, anxiety, we're broke, we're clawing and scratching and crying. It's all the ugly stuff that nobody wants to see, below the surface, failure after failure after failure. Or the other picture where they say, society's version of success is like a straight line up, and it says the real world success or entrepreneur success is a bunch of squiggly lines all over the place, up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's so true though, because I'll get a bunch of wins, I'll string some wins together, and I'm like, yes. And no matter what the process is, because I have great systems and strategies in place, but sometimes you just get a no. Sometimes no, you're just not a good fit. Even though you think you are, they don't see you as that. So all of a sudden you get a bunch of no's and you're like, oh, well, maybe I don't want to do this. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. It's so true.
It is. And there's the story of the Chinese bamboo tree, and does it take 5 years or does it take 5 weeks for the Chinese bamboo tree to grow? Well, what happens is they water the Chinese bamboo tree for 5 years before it even starts to sprout through the ground. So you're cultivating, you're creating that foundation for 5 whole years. And then what happens is when it finally sprouts through the ground, it grows to 80 feet tall in 5 weeks. But that's the surface that you're talking about, right? People see the 5 weeks and they're like, whoa, where'd they come from? They're amazing. They just like overnight success. No, there might be some overnight successes, but I highly doubt it. These professional ball players that are doing these amazing things, they practice for, tens of thousands of hours before they actually make it big. Same with musicians, all of those people. So I have a really, really quick story to share with you, Sean, that part of my journey. So as I left corporate, again, I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew I wanted to help people. And about 2 months into it, my life coach was like, hey, let's go to this vision board event. And I said, okay, I don't know what a vision board is, but I'll go. And so I attended this vision board event with her and ended up seeing a speaker. His name is Greg Reed. And Greg spoke.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His message was so, so important for me to hear. And not only that, I ended up getting a book from him, like a free book called 3 Feet from Gold. That book.
Love that book.
It's amazing. For those who don't know about it, please go check it out. It's written by Greg Reed and Sharon Lecter. It's called 3 Feet from Gold. They're actually experiencing their 10th year anniversary right now. But I didn't know that that vision board was going to lead to what I'm doing today. That vision board seminar, me hearing Greg Reed speak, my life coach, she says, hey, you have to go to his event called Secret Knock. And I was like, that's expensive. I'm not going. I'm not going to spend that kind of a money, you know, for an event. And she's like, no, no, you don't understand. You have to go. And I was like, if my life coach tells me I have to do something, I just better do it without questioning. And so I did. I paid the money. It was very expensive. And I showed up at that event. And what I learned during that event, it was 3 days. It's called Secret Knock. What I learned in that 3 days is that even though there are many, many people in our lives that we put on a pedestal, they're not on a pedestal. They are human beings. They're no different than I am. And so what that means is that when I met, you know, the creator, co-founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation that weekend, I learned that I, too, can create a foundation just like he did, and I can be extremely successful. When I met the gentleman who founded UGG Boots, you know, Brian Smith, I was like, oh, my gosh, he can teach me what I need to know in order to have that success. And so I've aligned myself with people who can help me to be successful in what I want and help me make it faster. And that's what Seeker Knock did for me. It put me on that path to believing in myself that I have so much value and worth, and it's time for me to start raising my hand, speaking out, stop letting my dad and my first husband control my life, you know, and I need to get them out of my head and start just, you know, putting myself out there and making an impact and the difference that I can make.
Oh, amazing. Who invented the magnetic strip on credit cards?
Yeah, his name is Ron Klein. And so, yeah, he invented the magnetic strip as well as the multiple listing service that is used for real estate agents, you know, probably worldwide. I know nationwide for sure. But he was just one day kind of figuring out, like, you know, kind of talking to himself, like, how can I make it so that something can be easily repeatable, basically? Well, in those days, there were cassette tapes that we used to use, you know, to listen to the radio and to listen to shows and stuff. And so he just took a piece of that magnetic strip from a cassette tape and he put it on a card, and somehow he was able to code it with the information of the numbers and stuff. I'm not sure exactly how he did it because that's just like way beyond my imagination. But he ended up creating that, and you'd have to swipe these cards, you know, over this machine. And he's the one who revolutionized the magnetic strip. It's so amazing.
That's amazing. Huh.
Yeah. You know,
right on.
Quickly, you know, I met the, you know, the president of Mexico, ex-president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, and I must admit, I wasn't scared at all when I met him. And that was because of meeting all these people and realizing that no matter how, like, what level of person is that in my mind, that they're still a human being. So I literally walked into his room. I knocked on the door, and I was like, hi, it's Linda. I'm here to, you know, interview you. And he goes, oh, come on in. So I walk in. I was like, just shake his hand and sit down and go about my way, do what I need to do, and then conduct the interview. And it was over, and I was like, that was really cool. I wasn't scared at all. I was thinking I was going to be scared, but I wasn't. It was so cool.
Like nervous?
Not at all.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that just shows your growth.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Tremendous. Because when I first met Frank Shankwitz, who is the creator of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, oh, my God, I met him at Secret Knock. And it was the second day, and he spoke, and I just, like, stared at him in awe. And I was just so enamored by his story of how he created the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And then when he was done speaking, he went and sat down at his table, and I ran over there. I was shaking like a leaf. I ran over there. And I said, oh, can I get a picture? So I got my picture with him. And I ran back to my table and I was just like, again, just shaking so much from the thrill that I had of getting my picture taken with him. And that was it. So the next day, as I was driving there, I was like, I'm going to go walk up to him and I'm going to have him become the keynote speaker at an event I'm just going to put on, right? So I walked right up to him and I was like, Frank, you're going to be the keynote speaker at my event. And he's like, excuse me, who are you? let's talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I had this desire to have him speak so much that I literally didn't let anything get in my way. So I think about, I equate that to, like, when I was a kid and I wanted to go on a ride at Disneyland, and when I saw the ride, and I would just run right over to it, and I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't let any adults get in my way. I wouldn't let anything stop me because I wanted it so badly. And then thinking about how as adults, we forget about that. We forget about that child who wants things so badly that they're willing to do whatever they have to do to get it. And we give that up at some point as adults. So I've adopted that back into my life to maintain that childlike attitude of I'm going to get what I want and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get it. And that really has helped me a lot.
I love it. That's absolutely amazing. So how do you help and elevate the lives that you come in contact with every day inside of your circle and people that you meet at events? So what is it that you do now?
Well, as mentioned in my bio, in 2015, I faced a fear every single day. So by doing that, what ended up happening is I gained a lot of confidence. I learned how to quickly recognize fear and let it go and say, oh, you know what? That's just fear. I'm going to do it because I'm scared. So I created this own, this mental attitude for myself of how I can face fears quickly and go through them. But what ended up happening is along the way, I also discovered that I have an ability to help others face their fears and quickly blast right through them and achieve the success that they want. Because fear, the biggest fear that most people have is the fear of judgment. We're worried about what are people going to think about the way my hair looks, the way my makeup is on, how I talk, or like if I talk with a crooked smile, people are going to make fun of me. So many different things that we are fearful of, and most of it relates to judgment. And so I teach my clients how to do things because they're scared. And it has helped people do so many different things, whether it's putting on an event or one of my clients, she started a book 20 years ago and she was scared to finish. So she had the fear of, we call it the fear of success. And so in one session with me, she finished her book and she launched it like within a week. And it was because I helped her to see that you can do this. And the reason you need to do this is because there's a lot of people out there who want what you have, but you're being selfish by not releasing that to them. And I look at that with my life too. When I speak on stage, hopefully I can inspire somebody to move into action and to basically get off their ass and start doing. Are we allowed to use that word here? I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Basically, get themselves moving toward the direction that they want to hit, because a lot of us have goals, but do we actually take the action to meet that goal? That's where everything is at, is taking that action. Greg Reed, he mentions, the action and the law of attraction. Like, that's what gets you what you want. It's that action. You
right.
have to take action. So you have to let your fears
yep.
go and realize they're just fears. And then after you're done, gosh, how good do you feel after you face a fear? You feel like, whoa, I'm on top of the world. I can do that all day long. And then fears enter again. And then they just keep coming up, but you just keep blasting right through them.
Awesome. That's just mind-blowing right now. much value right there. So much value.
Thank you.
I had Frank Shankiewicz on my show last year, and I had Greg Reed on my show last year, and both of them were absolutely amazing. And even in the first few months, and they agree to be on my show, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like they're big names. Oh my gosh, like I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, what if my show sucks? And then you start creeping in, right? The stupid stuff's gonna be like, what if my show sucks? What if they don't like it? Like, what right. if what if this ruins me because they're high level players? And what if their crowd thinks my show sucks and I ruin their image? Like, oh my gosh. And I started like having all of this mental like imposter syndrome stuff start happening. You know, and I was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then I was like, but what's great about this? I have amazing men coming on the show that have changed millions of lives.
Yeah.
So the worst that can happen is that no one listens to the show. Like no one would ever find out how bad it sucks. But it was, and it was an amazing conversation. I got right in. I did my thing. I was the host. I led the conversation. And Frank and I had a very amazing conversation. I didn't even know that he was an Air Force veteran. And he's like, oh, yeah, I did. I did. We talked about the story of how the Make-A-Wish started. And I was like, no kidding. And so we had an amazing conversation. Same with Greg. We had an amazing conversation about 3 Feet from Gold. We had an amazing conversation about how it applies to your life. And it's one of my highest rated shows. Those two guys are one of my highest rated shows. So, you know, and I totally get where, like, I wasn't even afraid once we started. And it's kind of the same thing when you go on stage. Right before you go on stage, you're starting to read your bio. You're starting to get anxiety. You're like, oh, God, it's going to happen. But then once you get up on stage, it's like all that just disappeared. And you're there. You're in your comfort zone.
Well, you know what's interesting about saying that is I hear all the time, like, you know, all speakers are nervous before they go on stage. And I'm no longer nervous. And I discovered why, Sean. So when I had that conversation with Les Brown, for example, there was something he said to me that really, really stuck with me. And it has to do with imposter syndrome, in my opinion. And he said, don't let what you want to say get in the way of what your audience needs to hear. And I was like, whoa, that means that when I'm starting to get nervous, it's because I'm thinking about me. I'm not thinking about the message that they're there to hear. And that right there just immediately calmed my nerves from any kind of speaking engagement. Like here today, you know, we got up to literally the last like 30 seconds before I got on here because I was having connection problems. And like, I don't have any nerves about that because I know that everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. And so right. I just tell myself, and I just remind myself all the time, is when I'm speaking, when I'm representing what it is that I'm representing, that there's somebody out there who needs to hear what I have to say. This is not about me at all. This is 100% about them. And so with that in mind, it helps me to calm my nerves so that I can go out there and just give it my all. In addition to that, being authentic, like having authenticity has helped me to also calm those nerves. Now, if I'm teaching something, it's different because now it's like, okay, there's potential for them to not like what I teach, not like the way I teach. Maybe it doesn't come out the right way. But when I'm just speaking, it's different for me because you're just tapping into my authenticity and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So moving forward, what's next for you in 2019?
That's a great question because I'm in the process of rebranding right now. We're actually starting today. So this is a really exciting time for me.
You know, timely.
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly, because you talked about the instant, like overnight success, right? So what happened when I left my corporate job 4 years ago, it was December 4th of 2014. When I left that corporate job 4 years ago, I had no idea what I was going to do. So it wasn't like I had a plan. I had not even an inkling as to how I was going to make money. All I knew is what I wanted to do was to help people. So because of that, not having a plan, not having, like, I didn't even have a projection of where I was going to be. So I was just kind of like going blindly, you know, day by day, day by day. So what's happened is along that path, by not having an end result in mind, because I didn't know what I was doing, people have branded me to who they think I am and to what they think I do. So now here we are. So if you ask somebody, what does Linda do? 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, I don't know. I hear this from so many of my friends. Like, you know, I have people like Greg Reed in my corner. You know, Greg Reed has become one of my mentors. I actually am now the organizer of the event, Secret Knock. So I have a really great relationship with Greg and all of his friends.
Yeah, really?
All of them are like, I don't really know what you do. And I'm like, okay, well, that has to change. So now that I know what I do, and now that I know what my purpose is, and now that I finally have discovered all these things, it's time for me to brand myself so that now when people see me,
right,
they will recognize that this is who she is and this is what she does. So I'm so excited to have that today, you know, starting that path today. But I do know this. This is one thing I do know, is that I have an ability to empower women to speak up, to share their voice, because I was stifled for so many years. My first husband, on a daily basis, told me, you're so ignorant, you're so stupid, people only nice to you because they feel sorry for you. I heard that on a daily basis for a couple of years. So I believed it. I believed it. So when I finally started sharing my voice, and when I finally discovered that I do have value and that people are actually nice to me because I'm a nice person, when I finally started realizing all these things, I knew it was time for me to start speaking. But now I provide those platforms for women to share their voice. So, for example, this podcast, right, you might ask me, who are some women you can send my way? Well, I'm going to give women that I know an opportunity to share their voice on your podcast or any other podcast out there who's looking for women. Maybe it's being on stages. Maybe it's writing their own book. Maybe it's being in a collaboration book. Maybe it's being on TV. Maybe it's being interviewed on people's, you know, live shows. So I give them this opportunity to actually share their voice. And that's what I'm going to start branding today. And I'm super excited, pumped up, ready to go.
So this is what I love. I love, so outside of like, which by the way, Secret Knock event organizer, I'm an amazing speaker. So anyway, I love branding positioning specifically positioning, because either you position yourself in the marketplace or the market will position you. And it's so hard to bounce back once the market's positioned you. So difficult to bounce back and rebrand. So it sounds like you would be a women's empowerment coach who brings a voice to the voiceless. That's kind of like what I'm feeling.
Ooh.
That's the vibe.
I
so
like
you would
that.
Be a women's empowerment coach who brings out the voice of the voiceless,
to the voiceless,
or brings out the voice to the voiceless. Yeah, brings out the voice to the voiceless, or brings a voice to the voiceless, or something like that. You know?
Yeah, I say, you know, be a voice amongst the noise, and then also be seen and be heard. So, but I like that, what you're saying there. So I'm going to have to take a note of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm the number one master resilience implementer, and people see that and they're like, you're number one. Well, I'm the number one because there is no other master resilience implementer, because I made up the title. It's all about branding and positioning, right?
So,
you know, so like there's some people that claim that they're the number one, whatever. Well, if you look up that title, they are the number one because nobody else is that title. So if I said motivational speaker, everybody's a motivational speaker. Tony Robbins isn't even a motivational speaker anymore. 2 years ago, he rebranded as a master life strategist. I've never even heard that before. But he's a master life strategist. You look up master life strategist, Tony Robbins owns the marketplace. Once you have created the market that you're going to play in, and you've created and positioned yourself correctly, you now own 76% of the economics in that marketplace. You own the majority, okay? Everybody else who comes after you, who does what you want to do, will own 24%, and they have to fight over the 24%. So if there's one person, you, who is dominating in a women's empowerment coach, and everybody after you wants to be a women's empowerment coach, they're never going to get more than 24% of the market share. And every time someone becomes a women's empowerment coach, they start fighting over that 24%. So now it's 12, now it's 5, now it's 0, now it's, okay, now it's diluted. Make sense?
Yeah, totally.
This is what I do. This is what I do. And my mentor is Christopher Lockhead, who wrote a book called Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. And it's a case study book based on Uber, Amazon, Apple, Salesforce, Infusionsoft, like all these other companies. And it's based on the business strategy of category design. And once you design your unique category that you are playing, like Uber is its own category. Amazon is its own category. Nobody else is playing. And because they can become the category king, nobody can beat them because they are the category king. You would have to create an entirely different new market in order for you to play, and so you would dominate that particular market because Amazon's already dominated its category, and it owns the category space that it plays in. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's so interesting, right? Because if you think about cotton swabs, they're actually called cotton swabs, but people say, hey, hand me a Q-tip or Kleenex. It's actually called something else, I don't remember, but people refer to it as Kleenex because they have cornered the market, and that is so true. I love that. So I'm going to,
become a verb.
I'm more excited.
When you become a verb, like Google something, like when you become a verb, you've made it.
When they say, we're the Uber of this, or we're the Uber of that.
Oh, God. They've created their own category. Look at Uber Eats. Uber Eats.
Yep.
We've had pizza delivery drivers for decades. We've had pizza delivery drivers, and all of a sudden Uber Eats is a thing, and Pizza Hut's going, really?
Yes.
You know what I mean? We've had delivery drivers forever, right? So
true.
Yeah, but that's what I love. I love talking business positioning and everything. Oh, yeah. So there is if you want to learn more about categories on everything, I would pick up the book Play Bigger, but specifically I would go back into the archives of Life Transformation Radio and listen to the hour-long episode that Christopher Lockhead and I had, and he breaks it down on how to position you correctly inside of your business in order to become that category king and dominate your market. It's an amazing episode, and he has a podcast called Legends and Losers, which talks about positioning and everything. But our episode on Life Transformation Radio, Christopher Lockhead and I did one way earlier this year, maybe even late last year. But, yeah, it was amazing, amazing episode. So
that's awesome.
As we start to wrap up the show, we do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the listeners to know and do. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Oh, you know, this is interesting because normally I would think people might plug themselves, but I'm going to take this moment actually to plug the event Secret Knock. Secret Knock literally changed my life. It put me on a path to meeting all these amazing people. You know, the list that I listed on the bio are just a small, small, small portion of the amazing, incredible people that I have met that have helped me to up-level myself on a daily basis to help me discover like who I am, what I am, what values I have to offer. So I highly recommend you, reaching out to Secret Knock, and that's SecretKnock, KNOCK.co. Go check it out. Our motto is, it's expensive, it's worth it, and it really is worth it. And trust me, you'll be so glad you invested your money in yourself to grow and become a bigger, better person.
Love it. Love it. So as we start to close the show, or as we do close the show, we always leave a nugget of knowledge with the listeners. So can you give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
The biggest one I would say is that you are never too old to start. So if there's something that you desire in your life, do it. Make sure you get out there and you do whatever it is that you want to do. My mother died with many, many regrets in her life. And when she passed away, I realized in that moment that I wanted to spend the rest of my life living a life that is fun, positive, and uplifting, and hanging out with positive and uplifting people. And so what's happened is I've actually been living that exact life that I've set for myself. Living your life with no regrets, when you get to the end, you have that last breath that you're going to be taking. Instead of saying, I wish I had, make sure you say, I'm so glad I did everything I wanted.
Uh-oh, wow. Instead of saying, I wish I did, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did.
Yep.
Holy crap, mind blowing. That's amazing. I love that.
I'm living my life that way on a daily basis.
Thank you so much for being an amazing guest on Life Transformation Radio. I cannot wait to see what 2019 has for you.
Thank you. Me too.
So Life Transformation Radio listeners, amazing guest, amazing show. If anything resonated with you, please reach out to Linda. Go to her website, livinglive.com, .tv, livinglive.tv. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live up the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.